Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Ezekiel 36:11 says, I will make you prosper more than before. Daniel 4:1 says, may you prosper greatly. Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered him greatly. Deuteronomy 35 says, he will make you more prosperous. Job 22:21 says, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. That's what it says. Do you know there's more scripture supporting wealth and money than there are talking against it? And I'll give you the wealth formula now. There's 10 of them. Number one, don't love money more than you love your God. Don't love money more than you love your God. If you are all consumed about money, if you worry, my friends, about money, that means that money is an idol to you. Did you hear me? If you worry about money, you worry how you're gonna pay your bills, you worry about how you're gonna take care of the mortgage, guess what? That is money being ahead of God. Did you hear me? It says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In Matthew 5 or 6, it says, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will wear, because your God in heaven already knows what you need. There is no need to worry, but to have faith. So if you worry about money, guess what? That's just nothing but a total deception from the pit of hell. The enemy wants you to worry about finances, wants you to think about money, wants to do what? To drive you away from God. Because he knows that if you actually follow him, if you actually honor him, if you actually love him, if you actually serve him, that God will prosper you and make you great in the city gate. So you'll be blessed going in and that you will be blessed coming out. That he will bless those that bless you and that he will curse those that curse you. The enemy of your soul knows this. Why? Because he reads the Bible more than you do. It's the truth. Okay, number two, work with a spirit of excellence as unto him. That's what it says in Colossians. It says work with all your might unto him. How many of you would say you need some work in that area? Yes. That if you work your business with all your might as unto him, he is your boss. And when it comes time for promotion, it does not matter what a jerk of a boss you have ahead of you. Because God is over him or her. And guess what? He sees what you do. He sees your diligence. He sees the extra hours. He sees the motivation. He sees the heart that you're pouring into it. He sees and will bless the fruit of your hands. Don't you worry about your boss. God will just promote you right above him. Did you hear me? Look at Joseph in the Bible. Look at Joseph. This is such a powerful story. Here, Joseph is blessed with a vision, blessed by his father, and then thrown into a pit. Then he is enslaved, brought to Egypt, being a slave in a governor's house who worships a foreign god, and it says God prospered him. Then he is now accused because the stinking adulterous wife, ooh, Joseph, come here, honey. She looked at that fine young man and said, I gotta get me some of that. And he ran. He gets falsely accused of committing adultery. He gets put into prison, and God exalted him from prison to being the head of an entire huge, most powerful nation of its time. So you have nothing to worry about who you, whatever man or woman is above you. That means nothing, because God will bless the fruit of your hands. That's if, my friends, you are working it as unto who? Him. Number three. Okay, actually, and number two, you need to understand where money comes from. Who does it come from? So who are you working for? Even when your boss is mean to you, who are you working for? Yes. Somebody go, nah, 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 nah. Number three. Know that the money that he is blessing you with is for a much bigger purpose than just your stuff. Did you hear me? The money he is giving you is for a much bigger purpose, and it's not just for your stuff. Does he want to bless you with stuff? Yes, he does. But does he want the stuff to own your life? No. He does not want your stuff to own your life. I was a woman who my stuff owned my life. And I happened to be in this huge 6,000 square foot house. Hans and I were in our 20s and we're making a fortune and life is good and everything is wonderful. And all of a sudden I'm preparing for this Bible study and the Spirit of the Lord comes on me and he says, who's this all for? Well, it's not for Hans, because he could live in a coffee shack and be happy. Then who's it for? Well, Lord, it's not for my kids. Now, come on, God is speaking to me. I can't lie. Well, God, it's not for my kids because they don't need 10 acres. They don't need a tennis court. They don't need a guest house. They don't need 6,000 square foot of a house. Well, then who's it for? I'm like, who? Running out of options. My cheeks were twitching. Then who's it for? Well, Lord, I guess you don't need it. You own everything. I used to trick myself into believing that it was to honor God why I had this huge mortgage. Lord, I'm sorry. It's all about me. All my stuff, my cars, my jewelry, my clothes, my house was all about me. And my ego trip, that this is the lifestyle that this homeless cocktail waitress went to. That this house was nothing but a reflection of my big, fat, greedy ego trip. That's all it was. And I was empty inside. No matter how much we made, it was never enough because we spent faster than we made it. Here I loved God, I served God. I honored God, we paid our tithes. But it was all about, well, this is what I'm accustomed to. This is the kind of lifestyle we're used to. And the Lord said to me in a moment, he says, sell your belongings and follow me. I thought I was following him. And instantaneously, I said, rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You go back to hell where you belong. And he says, this is Jesus. And if you love me, you will follow me and you will sell your belongings. I started weeping and I went on the floor and I just started crying and crying and crying and repenting because I realized that my whole life became centered around me.